But at the time, I didn't care because I was going to end it anyway, you know? But I come back, and that's when I kind of let the cat out of the bag. I'm like, Dad, like, clearly I have a drug problem. I want to get off drugs. I want to continue to live. You know, what can we do? He was like, well, turn yourself in. So I go to the bondsman. I turn myself in. I end up having to do like 5 to 10 days in jail because I had to like see the judge. And I'm like, what do we do now, Dad? Like, I have negative $3 in my bank account. Like, I can't go to Bradford. It's $15 a day or $15,000 a day at Bradford. I don't have insurance because I lost my job. What do I do? And my dad has been going to Crosspoint for forever, working the parking lot, serving. My dad is one of the best guys I know, and my best friend. He was like, I know where you can go because he serves here every like first and last Sunday and stuff, going through Crosspoint. And he was like, I was like, I don't have any money. I don't know what to do. And he was like, I'll take you to the Downtown Rescue Mission. He's like, I've already been talking to him because he knows Dennis Kennelly. He, I guess, was in talks with Adam Casey.
Yeah.
So they dropped me off here, and I have literally like the whatever bag you get your belongings back from jail. You know, it's like a paper bag, like a grocery bag. He brings me here, and I meet Adam Casey, and you know, he was like, are you planning on staying? I'm like, no, probably not. Like, I rehab's not for me. I'm not homeless. I don't need to be at a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And I end up, you know, playing video games with Adam and Corey Bullard like for forever. They just talk to me like, now knowing it is crazy because like they get off work at 3, but like it was like until like 6 or 7 just talking, playing video games. And you know, in the meantime, like my friends, they know that I like need help because I was in jail for 10 days. And you know, they're just like texting me like, you got this, you can do this, we're here for you, like whatever you need. And then I end up, you know, I had only the clothes like on my back and then like a change of clothes to sleep in because I wasn't planning on staying. It was just enough to, you know, get my friends to trust me again or
Yeah.
to, you know, get my parents off my back or whatever it may be. But yeah, end up joining the life recovery program here. And it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me for sure.
So, because I let some of my ministry staff play video games, that changed the rest of your life, huh?
Yeah, shout out to Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys, and how long were you doing that with them? A couple weeks, or I mean,
Playing video games with
yeah,
him?
to try to get you into the program. That's what they were
I
trying
came
to do.
straight in, which
Yeah.
is insane.
Yeah.
And because me being the chaplain here now, the process to get into our program is you have to have 2 interviews with the chaplain. Like you got to stay in the overnight side. But I, me being the humble person I am, I was talking to Adam about it not too long ago. I was like, "I'm pretty awesome, man. You brought me straight into the program." He was like, "No, because you're soft and you wouldn't have stayed back there. Me and your dad had talked, like you would have cried and left and figured out another." And I was like, "Oh yeah, you're probably right." It's crazy because now I'm like working over it with the best boss in the world, Morgan Fox, dude. Like, just it was the perfect storm. I come into the program not planning on staying. And I meet Adam Casey, who ends up being my discipleship leader, mixed with Corey Bullard, someone who went through the program himself, who I can relate to, mixed with Mickey Counter, who has been in Brazil for 20 years and just a wise old man I
As a
can play.
missionary.
Yeah. And I can play chess with and drink coffee with, you know, who's like, you know, you go to Corey and Adam and it's like dad, like they're hard on you. You go to Mickey, it's like mom, you know, he's like, okay, but it's still truth, but it's just a nicer version of it, you know, mixed with, you know, security. You know, you had Lowen and you had Drew at the time, who I rolled my fist up at a couple times. He flipped my mattress, you know, that kind of, well, because I bought every bit of it, you know, like you have rules that you need to go by, and he's military, you know, and I put a target on my back immediately, you know, no dipping, no smoking, no cigarettes. And, you know, I'd walk around the hallways with cigarettes in both ears, just a horseshoe of grizzly wintergreen long cut. You know, I think not wanting to be here, not wanting to be here. Not, you know, being a spoiled brat, not having discipline, not liking, you know, authority. And then, you know, cut to, you know, 6 months later, they end up, him and Lowen end up hiring me. You know, it was just the perfect storm, man.
But what, you went to jail. Was that for you? Was that like the bottom? You're like, I got to do something to change my life.
Yeah, that's what made me
Your
realize.
dad saw it and he already knew because he was already looking at the mission for you, you know. But there had to be something in your life that was the last thing. And you're like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I need to go and do something that's going to change my life. What was it? Jail.
Straight up jail. Jail sucks.
Yeah.
Jail sucks. Jail's bad. It's like 2 bologna sandwiches a day. Not to mention, you know, I'm a 150-pound white kid with glasses.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fighting for everything. They want my mats. They want my food. You know, not to mention, they know I'm only in there for like a bond jumping and, you know, so I'm going to be gone in a minute anyway. Yeah. Let's take everything we can get from this kid. But I, you know, there was this older black gentleman in there. I forgot what his first name was, but we just called him OG. You know, every old guy in there is OG. Yeah. Original. Yeah. Gangster, whatever. And he was reading the Bible, and he was in the cell next to me. He wasn't in my cell. Me and my cell, we weren't getting along because he wanted my mat. And I ended up having to fight him for it. Got the crap beat out of me, but kept my mat. So I guess I won in a little way. But while I was in there, it was like day 4 or 5, and I found drugs in there, like meth to be exact. And I called my mom, cried and convinced and begged her to put money on my book. So I was able to buy other people's stuff for drugs or for whatever. And OG looked at me and he was like, "You're jailing now." He's like, "You're really jailing now." And like for a second I was like, "Yeah, like cool. I'm jailing now, whatever." And then I go back to my bunk or whatever. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I don't want to be jailing. Like this is so bad."
Yeah.
You know, while all my friends, you know, while I still have like this girlfriend of 4.5 years who, you know, like, I thought I was going to go into jail and come right back out. You know, I'm in there for 10 days. You know, my friends are wondering where am I. My girlfriend, who has no idea about any of this, is wondering.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't want to be jailing. So I called my dad. I'm like, as soon as I'm done with court, I got to get out of here. This is bad. But in jail, for sure, was my moment of, you know, like, you always hear, like, God will, you know, God's not going to put you through anything you can't handle.
Yeah.
Bull crap, man. He put me through everything I could not handle, but it was so I turned to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you get in the program, you finally play enough video games, they get you to entice you to get in the program, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, you don't have to go through all the steps, but what were some of the highlights of the program for you that really were some changing, you know, like, you know, in life we have those U-turns that we have in our life that, man, that really changed my life, right?
Yeah. So I've always been the kind of like person, like if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. And I come in, I meet Matt Worsham, who now runs the front office and I lead a D group with. We just got back from D group, discipleship group. I meet him and like it was like day 2 and I'm like running around, you know, like dipping, like just being ridiculous, breaking all the rules. And he just pulls me aside. He's like, "How old are you, dude?" And I'm like 28. And he was like, "Stop acting like you're 16. Like, what are you doing? Like, we're all here trying to get better. You're running around here. Like, you know what I mean?"
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. That was like a wake up call. Like, you know, I'm looking around and like people are like, you know, praying. They're in the Bible. You know, I'm just like wanting to go to the basketball court and shoot some hoops or, you know, play some video games. But that I like, not to mention we were bunk mates. Like he slept next to me for a whole year. Like, you know, like the growth, like we got it out the mud together, man. Like, we went through a lot, but if it wasn't for his experience and his wisdom, like big brother type thing, you know, that was a huge turning point. Another big turning point I would have to say would be Adam Casey, his classes. He teaches, you know.
And he's the director of the men's ministry.
Yep. Yeah. He's the men's program director. Yep. So he's over everybody who's in the program. And he teaches classes. He teaches this one class. He goes through the book of John.
Yeah.
And I just remember like being filled with the Holy Spirit, like tears in my eyes every time. It was like, holy crap. Like, what is happening here? You know, it was like, I was getting that same feeling I did on the beach when I was like, "God, please help me," kind of thing. Which I had totally forgot about when I went to jail. I remember his first John classes, he would like get just the way he teaches, like, it's like, you know, he gives you these like, you know, illustrations or whatever about, you know, like blind faith. And he had me like hold an invisible man, you know, and he was like, it's crazy. I was holding an invisible man and he like goes on for like 30 minutes about this invisible man. And then he was like, "Do you really believe that you're holding an invisible man?" And I'm like, "No." And then he was like, "Then why are you holding the jacket in his other hand?" Like I was like holding these things and it just like clicked with me. Like, you know, like the whole, I had faith that I would do heroin one more time and then I'd be done. I'd have faith in all these things. He was talking about, you know, your faith in Jesus, your faith in God.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of hard work because I look around me and everyone was reading the Bible. And it was like, how am I going to believe in, you know, some guy who's not here, you know, just this God thing? You know, I want to. My dad always said, you know, pursue God, follow God, you know. I went to this Christian school, like there's a book, this Bible about him. Like I want to read the Bible, but I wasn't. I was just wanting to continue to do, you know, to do me, to do Adam. One of the other big ones, turning points, was with Lowen. Lowen pulled me aside because he was working on security and I was breaking all the rules, dipping inside. And like, he just sat me down. He's like, dude, what are you doing? You're 28 years old. You're like ruining your life. We're asking you to do these simple things. I'm like, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, like I don't like want to be here. All my friends are out there having fun playing disc golf and, you know, going downtown and I'm in here. Like, this sucks. I don't want to be here. Kick me out, please. And he was like, you got to want to do better. He's like, you got to, like, there's like this heart change. And he brought me through scripture and showed me like everything about, you know, being changed by the heart and stuff. And then I talked with Matt about not leaving. Matt talked me out of leaving. On that same day, I had the talk with Lowen and with Matt. I was like that, like so close to leaving, Keith. I was about to leave because I got into it with somebody working in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I go to, you can't have cell phones the first 6 months of the program. So I go to our resource center on my way to the resource center, somebody who was working the front desk, I think it was Chris Brock, hands me a note, says, hey, this person wants you to call him. And it was Robert Perez, who I live with now, my best friend in the whole wide world. Like, literally, as soon as I graduated the program, had me come in, live with him. Like, he's anything I could say about that dude is an understatement. Like, he's so wonderful.
At what point in the program did you feel like you really gave a commitment to Jesus and said, listen, I want you to take over my life? I'm done running my own life.
This day.
Yeah.
This day. I get this note from Robert.
Yeah.
Okay. I call him. He doesn't answer. I go on the computer to try to, like, get more numbers or something because my phone was dead and I forgot why. But I get these emails. I'm just flooded with emails of all my friends, like Peter Misaki, somebody who I wasn't even close with, you know, but we're in the same friend group. Scott, my friend Scott, who's Jewish, you know, doesn't even believe in Jesus, knows that I'm in this faith-based Jesus program, came to graduation. Just the best people in the whole world are reaching out to me. And that gave me motivation to like stay. I'm like, okay, I'll do it for them at least, you know? Yeah. And then I, you know, go into my dorm that night and I'm on my hands and knees crying. I don't even know how I got to be there. You know, Matt Worsham or somebody was like, you know, the power of prayer, baby. He's like, roll tide, you know, Matt.
Yeah.
So I start praying and I'm just crying just like I was on the beach. I was like, God, I want to get to know you. I want to read the Bible. I want to do all these things. And I wouldn't say it was the next day, but I don't remember when, but next thing I know, I am, you know, doing D groups, discipleship groups. I'm like, you know, wanting to get in the Bible. Like, I'm not just like hearing things. I'm like understanding things. I wasn't just knowing about Jesus. I was knowing Jesus. It was that day, like all those things happened. I had a talk with Lowen, my friends reached out, and then just like praying and for that heart change that Lowen was talking to me about.
Yep.
And it, then ever since there, like, you know, security got off my back. I started following all the rules. I just wanted to be the person who I always, you know, wanted. Like, I always wanted people to think I was something that I wasn't. And, you know, now I can say that I am. And this was towards the end of first step. So cut to second or third step. Like, I just started to realize and understand, like, if you pursue God half as hard as you pursue after, not even half, a quarter of the way as you pursue like things that you want, he'll give you more than you ever need.
So people out there understand when you're talking about the program, there's different levels. So step one, step two, step three, almost like semesters, right? You know,
yeah, like quarterly.
So you have four semesters and it takes a year to get through it.
Four steps. They're each 3 months long, which makes the year for the year-long program. Fast forward to fourth step. I'm wanting to get an engineering job back. I'm wanting to make money. I'm good. I'm sober.
Yeah.
I'm working security here. Lowen hired me when Drew left, and Lowen got the position. Next thing I know, Adam Casey, he was like, you'd be a really good counselor, man. I was like, yeah, I would love to. Like, I've felt a calling for it, you know, like I would love to too, but I already have this degree in this, or I have a, you know, certificates in this. And I think the idea came up with me working here. Yeah. Shortly after that, I think, I don't know who came up with the idea, but Adam was like, you should work here. And then I was like, what would I do? Because I don't want to do security. I don't have the heart for it. There's some hard days on security where you gotta, you know, do some punishment, or, you know, kick people out or whatever it may be. And I just couldn't do it. I was on security once and they were like, hey, did you bar this guy for 3 days? I was like, no, I gave him a hug and he's going to go to bed. You know, like I just couldn't do it. And then I think Morgan, like, I don't know if he came up with the idea or what happened, but Morgan, who is our, now I think our director of Men's Overnight, right, who was the chaplain at the time, you know, definitely needed help because it's a big job. You know, either asked or accepted for me, because we got cool when I was on security, and yeah, you know, we work a lot together. And then he, the idea came up, hey, would you want to work here in ministry? And, you know, immediately I was like, absolutely. But, you know, I was told and advised, you know, pray about it. Think about, is this really what you want to do? So I did. And I got told by, you know, there was definitely various signs on why I should stick around here. So
you graduate the program, uh-huh, and then you come to work for us.
Right? Yeah. Hit the ground running. Like the day after graduation, I go from a security vest to a, you know, polo, yeah, to start counseling folks.
And you feel committed to Christ enough that you want to share that with other people, right?
Yeah.
And you want to be that guy that puts your arm around somebody and says, hey, listen, get in the program. This is going to change your life, because they point you in the right direction, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the biggest thing was when I was doing drugs, when I was out doing stupid in the streets and, you know, lying to family, lying to friends, I had no hope. You know, I think I went to a couple of AA meetings throughout my drug run, and it just didn't work for me. They were, you know, more, whatever works for you to get off drugs, don't do drugs, but it was more pursue quitting drugs.
Yeah.
It was, you know, one day at a time, I'm an addict. Here, I quickly learned that, like, do not put your identity in your circumstances. Put your identity in Christ. And yeah, that's what worked for me.
So how long have you been a chaplain now?
2 years, May 28th.
So you graduated and you've been doing great since the program, right? Mm-hmm. And you're helping other people here at the mission. So let's talk about how you are now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know... you're back in the lane of wanting to find a girlfriend and, you know, and yeah, it's different now than it was before, though, because you and I've had conversations. You're like, listen, how old are you now? 31?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 31 and I want to find a good Christian girl that, you know, because my life is that way now. And that's not how you were before. You know, you weren't really worried about that. But what I love about that is I've seen you through that process, that there's been some that you've dated that it's not been so great. And mm-hmm, you're like, you know, hey, they might say they're a Christian, but I don't like the path they're going, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But to see the difference in you, because I know that one of the things you want to be a dad.
Yeah. Yeah,
you want to do some of those things. And yeah, God's got that in your plan. So tell me about, now that you're with the mission and, you know, kind of your goal, and you graduated now with the Christian counseling.
Biblical counseling.
Biblical counseling.
Yeah. And thanks to the mission for paying for it. Like, yeah, they were like, okay. As soon as I graduated the program, I hit the ground running. I'm having to counsel people who, you know, have problems that I never even know you could have.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. I go through biblical counseling, which is a year of classes and, you know, getting in the word and books and all these things. And
not you being counseled, but you are learning how to counsel.
Yeah, both. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, both. Yeah. I mean, it's like first semester is like about you and self-examination. The second one's about that. But while working here, while counseling, me and Matt Worsham graduated the program together. He was hired on staff. We're riding together to do that. I forgot what your question was.
Well, what do you see in yourself doing the next, you know, what is the projection for you now? What is the direction your life wants to go?
I now want to do whatever I feel. I feel like I don't deserve to be here. I feel like I don't deserve to be alive. I don't deserve to not be in prison. Through God's grace, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Through God bringing me the mission, who I feel like I'll owe a debt, you know, for forever. Whatever God wants me to do, or whatever, wherever God has me, I'll do that. I don't see myself working anywhere else.
Yeah.
I see myself staying here for the long haul. Who knows what could happen? I mean, I've seen it by working here. A lot of things can change in a year.
Sure.
But like I said, if it wasn't for my best friends, we call ourselves, you know, the McNugs group and the Discord, I would not be here today. If it wasn't for the mission, I would not be where I'm at today.
You went from not obeying the rules
yeah.
to the one enforcing the rules, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and having to give out punishment for it. Yeah. I know. There's only one excuse for that is God.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, the resume shows, like, working for an engineering company, jail, a chaplain. Like, that's bananas. I can't, like, and I confiscate, you know, drugs sometimes, you know, like, here. You know, sometimes people bring in, you know, weed or stuff that they're not supposed to. And
things that you couldn't wait to get your hands on before.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, and at the time, it was like, you know, it was like, open up my pill bottle and have some pills, or, you know, roll a blunt and smoke some weed. Now I see weed and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, those are drugs. That's bad. Like, it's crazy. Like, the whole heart change and stuff. But, luckily I work in ministry. So I have that accountability. I have people who are constantly watching over me and, you know, making sure that I'm not going back, you know, to doing stupid.
And you have a great relationship with the Lord too, and that's the big thing, right? I mean,
yeah, I know who Jesus is. Yeah, you know,
that's who you can depend on too. You know, some of the fun things about you is you are a comedian on the side.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and you've actually performed.
I'm a full-time comedian.
Yeah, you are here at least.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've performed at some of the local stand-up places, and is that something that you think you would like to do more in the future?
Maybe. There's a lot of drugs.
As long as I'm not into your jokes, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so much material here.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I mean, as far as pursuing it, no. I pursued it as a career. I used to get paid decent money to do it. And when I say decent, it would be like, you know, like $100 a night to go to Copper Top or something. Like some, you know.
It's a fun hobby though, right?
It's so much fun. Yeah. And I mean, now when I do it, I bring my ministry team, like Adam, Casey, Morgan, and Morgan was doing it too. Adam was doing it too. Like, it's fun. But as far as pursuing it, like, I don't want, like, what's working now is pursuing the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to do that, you know, and realizing that Adam's way got him to jail.
Yeah.
Adam's way got him to, you know, a homeless shelter. God's way got him here. And, you know, I thank him every day for that. I think that's one of the main things I struggle with when it comes to prayer too, is like asking for things.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, just nope, thank you for what I like daily bread. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
So if you could look back and the 31-year-old Adam could talk to an Adam who's a lot younger, maybe just starting this path. And I'm saying, talk to the young folks that are out there today. What would you say to that 12, 13, 14-year-old Adam that you now know at 31, because you've taken this, it's been a hard road, right? I mean, there's been some real big bumps in the road, and then, but you ended up in a good place.
Yeah. I would tell them it's going to be okay. Like, like, I would tell them God is in complete control, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, like, I pray for anyone's blind eyes to be opened and deaf ears and hearts to be softened. But he is in complete control. Like, it's like when I was little playing video games with my brother, like, we would be playing video games together, but my controller would be unplugged. I just thought that I was playing.
Yeah.
That's how I look at, you know, like, God is in complete control. You know, even when I feel like Adam needs to do these things, God has a plan for you. And not only that, but, like, he loves you. Like, you are not alone. When I was in that jail cell and, you know, God gave me more than I could handle. Yeah, but like he can handle it. You know what I mean? Like he is love. He is grace. He is mercy. And none of us deserve it, but we get it. And I don't even think we can wrap our heads around the fact like of how much grace, mercy, and love that he is and we get for it. And also I would tell him, you know, there's going to be, as far as being a Christian goes, it's like, you know, in Matthew, you know, the guy walks up to Jesus and he's like, hey, can I follow you? And he's, what does Jesus say? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but like, we won't have a place to sleep. Like, it, get to work. We're going to get to work, you know, like it's hard work. And the devil does not care if you fall off left or right. He just cares that you're off the saddle.
That's right.
But that's why you need, you know, to be in the Word every day, even when everything was good, even when everything was perfect before the fall. Adam and Eve didn't know what to do until God spoke.
Yeah.
So there's something about being in his word. There's something about being surrounded by people who have their swords sharpened too, who are in the word and, you know, can hold you accountable. But if I was to tell me at 12 years old, that was the age my brother died, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going to be okay. And it's not on you, you know? And if I could speak to my brother one more time, you know, I think it would be, you know, it wouldn't even, like, for so long, I wanted to know why he did it. I think now it would just be like, you know, how am I doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Well, listen, I'll tell you this. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I love you. And I think the path that God has us on sometimes might not be the path that we choose for ourselves at 10 or 11 years old, right?
I was supposed to be playing for the New York Giants right now, man. Right? You know what I'm saying?
But when you look back, you can say, hey, wow, I see God's hand each step of the way. Even when I was in jail, even when I was taking drugs, God, at some point, it all directed you to the point where you are now, that God got you on the right path.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know you talked to Adam Casey quite a bit, and I know he's got you on the reform side of things.
That's my boy.
You know, so for sure God was a part of it the whole way through, right?
Yeah. It already had been written out, brother.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for having me here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to work here. And you know, ultimately, like, it's God's glory that's going to be shown at the end of the day, you know, whether it be somebody who's staying in overnight right now, whether it be somebody who just is about to graduate the program in 2 weeks, God's glory is going to be shown.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I can't wait to see the next 5, 10, 15 years of Adam.
Yeah.
And where you're going to be and how many lives will be changed because of your testimony and because of your work directly with the folks. And really because your heart was changed in a direction that was kind of going south. And now it's going the direction God wants you to go. And I love seeing your growth. I love seeing your passion for helping the other guys who were in a position that you were just a few short years ago.
Yeah.
And so, I like I said, I can't wait to see how God's going to take your life and really direct, you know, your paths as you go forward and help in the ministry here or wherever God leads you.
Because
he's got a path for you to go. So
yeah. I'm excited too, man.
Well, this has been another, you know, great story of hope. And Adam has done a great job here at the mission, but shows you really how God can change a life from something that was devastating early on in his life of a family member passing and then divorce and everything else that happened and falling into this party lifestyle that ended up being not good, ended up in jail. That really brought Adam to a place where he had to get kind of on his knees at a mission and changing his life that saw Jesus Christ really change what Adam's direction was. And like I said, we love Adam. We're so thankful that he is a story of hope. And this has, again, been Keith Overholt from the Downtown Rescue Mission. And this is another podcast of Stories of Hope.